Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Hyper Slop Happy Hour with your host, CJ and Ruben. Coming to you live from the beautiful states of Indiana and Texas, the only true state of the Union of Portland again. Now get ready to sit back, relax, sit back, have fun, enjoy, and call in to the Hyper Slop Happy Hour.
On a mission of love, checking out the chat room for us, but you will die.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the show. How's everybody doing tonight? Hey, if you want to give us a call, 646-478-0616. I am Rufus. And Zigzag is on the line. Zigzag, is that you?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. You sound preoccupied and busy.
No, I wasn't sure if I was actually on or not. I'm kind of mess with this thing. It's like, I was like, oh, I haven't pushed one yet, but I guess apparently I did.
Okay, I thought you were
What's
doing
going
your
on,
taxes
Rufus?
Or something.
Same old, no, I same old. That till taxes are April 14th.
Yeah, and then you file an extension, and it's October.
That's right, October 1st, which I guess
I
directly
to
is September 31st, September 30th.
Sure, sure.
So I guess that's probably
so
why you're moving out of the country.
Yeah, well, man, what sucks is even moving out of the country, I'll still have to pay taxes in America. That's how tyrannical they are.
That's very unfortunate.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah, been a hectic week. Sorry I missed the last couple broadcasts. I understand that you had a guest on. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yesterday, my buddy Jim from the Austin-based indie film company Twitchy Dolphin Flicks was on, and it went really well. I didn't know what to expect. I'd never done an interview before, especially with somebody I've known for years. You know, that's kind of a weird thing to do because I didn't want to just like talk to the guy. Like I wanted it to be a real interview and it turned out pretty well. I think I actually jotted down some questions and we got to him and it was pretty fascinating. I think
that's nice to know. Good job on that. Rufus, did you learn anything interesting that you did not know about Jim previously?
Yes. 90% of everything he said was news to me. I mean, I've known the guy for years, but we haven't been like buddies. It's like I know him professionally. I've been in his flicks and I've done some music for him, but it's not like we've had many opportunities to just hang out. So I got some pretty good insight into the biz and even to the clockwork of his mind.
Whoa, sounds deep. Sounds like you guys got pretty deep.
Yeah, it sounds like a Pink Floyd song.
Does it? Sounds like you guys got pretty deep, yes.
Yeah, we did. We made out, too.
He was in the studio? He was in the studio with you?
Well, we did a video thing, so he was able to, see what I showed him, if you get my drift, and the other way around.
Oh.
It was an intimate moment, yeah. It was up close and personal.
So I guess my question would be, was there mouth kissing?
I drew his face on my hand. Let's not go any further. Yes.
I understand what you're saying, I think, there, and I'm thoroughly disgusted by it.
Well, there's many reasons why it was a good interview, and many of those are physical.
You need to check if that mouth drawing on the hand thing is legal in Texas, because I'm not sure that it is.
Well, I know that you can't legally marry your own hand. That's not recognized.
There should be a law against that.
There should be.
So
right.
Anything?
I think
anything. Are we ever going to get this figured out with this delay thing, Bruce? I'm just going to have to move to Nicaragua with you so we can get it figured out.
Yeah, I think so. This Skype is ridiculous, but I don't know what else to do. I can't call into my phone because it just seems too weird to hold a phone to my head for this. I got to get in the mood, you know, like wear headphones and do it.
Well, it's like hard to drink beer and hold a phone at the same time. I mean, it can be done, but it's dangerous.
Actually, maybe that's an invention for Hypersloth Industries. If there's some sort of cell phone / beer holder thing, that would be a moneymaker.
I think they call that Bluetooth.
Yes.
Or maybe they call it beer tooth.
Oh! Oh, my.
Oh! Oh! Hey, excellent. Excellent work. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Excellent work on the beer's food. The howl, just, it's there, man. I'm telling you, that song is there. That song is ready for the airwaves. No doubt about it.
You know, I think it is, man. And I actually listened to it today for the first time, like, in my truck. I had it on my phone, so I did the whole, I plugged it into the stereo through the auxiliary, and I just cranked it through the speakers in my truck. It was the first time I heard it, like, not in headphones. And, man, I just got to say, dude, like, driving around listening to that song coming through vehicle speakers as if it were on the radio is, like, how it should be.
It's funny you say that because I actually was listening to it just now the exact same way, wired in from my phone to my car speakers, and I was jamming it. And I've probably listened to it, like, 50 times like that now, sadly enough. I have a new favorite station. It's the Hypersloth Beer's Food Station.
Well, it is. If this song doesn't make us rich and also just somehow unite the world, then I'm going to lose all faith in humanity.
Then obviously there is no God.
Yeah, that's right. If this song crashes and burns for some reason, then that's pretty much proof that God does not exist.
Obviously, it's going to make us move. Speaking of there is no God, I have a little story I want to tell you about when I was at Sam's with my daughter last week. Can I bend your ear for a minute, Rufus? Is that all right?
I'm super interested in how God and Sam's fit together.
Well, they do. It's called Sadler's Beef Brisket, so you know. That's God's version of beef brisket that does not take 10 hours.
Oh, wow.
But,
turbo brisket.
So, as usual, I'm at Sam's, and I get in the wrong line, like I always do. I get in, like, the shortest line, or so I think is the shortest line. You know, you go, like, past 10 lines, you're like, this one seems pretty short. I'm sure you've experienced that before. And we're sitting there, me and my daughter there, my wife's not with us, and we're just buying some crap for my daughter's birthday party that she had on Saturday. And she looks at me and she goes, "Dad, what's that smell?" I'm like, "What? I don't smell anything." And she's like, "Dad, what's that smell?" And she's like, "It smells so awful, it's so stinky." Okay, so I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden I'm like starting to smell this smell, right? And it turns out it's like this guy's butt that is like 4 feet from us in another line.
What?
No lie. Yes, it's like his ass smell. You know, you've been around, you've smelled like an ass, like a dirty ass smell. And
like
I know
when you've been
guy
camping
knows,
for days.
Yes, exactly. Without toilet paper, apparently. And of course, my daughter is going, "What is that smell? What is that awful smell?" You know, and then by then I'm like, "I don't know, maybe it's the fish or the floor cleaner or whatever." And, of course, at the front of the line, there's this lady writing a check, and it's, like, not going through the machine, right? And, like, every 10 seconds, my daughter's going, "What is that smell, Dad? What is that smell? It really stinks," right? And this guy is just sitting there, and I know he knows that it's his ass that smells, right? Because he's just kind of sitting there, and then all these people are, like, turning towards me and my daughter. And I know that some of them are thinking, like, "Yeah, we smell that guy's ass. It is disgusting." And unfortunately for my daughter, she's only, like, 3.5 feet tall. So her nose, I guess, is, like, closer to this guy's ass than anyone in the whole store. So I just was like, you know, it was it was humiliating yet liberating at the same time, because I know that guy probably was like, oh, shit, that was my ass that smelled, and that little girl was calling me out.
Dude, that is absolutely hilarious.
Well, but I just want people to know out there, too, that my daughter actually is special, and I'm sure that Levi is special, too, but I want most people to understand that their kids are most kids are not special. You know, most kids are special.
Absolutely not. That's really funny that you mentioned that, because I had a similar experience happen last weekend. Although that one blows this one out of the water, but because it's similar, I got to tell you. So we were at HEB, grocery shopping, and we're in the checkout line, and it's me. The wife is actually up there taking care of business, right? And I'm behind the cart, and our four-year-old Levi is in the cart, and he's sitting there. And I suddenly had to say, come on, let's go, I'm going to take you out. Let's go over here and look at this by the door. My wife's like, what the hell? Because usually we just go through the checkout. So she's freaking out. She's trying to, you know, deal with the money and watch the coupons, and suddenly she sees me, like, running off with the kid. The reason is because the person at the register was a little androgynous, and Levi was asking me, is that a boy or a girl? And I knew that when we got up there, he would ask directly, are you a boy or a girl? So I just had to get him out of there. But your version of that whole experience is just absolutely hilarious.
No, we've actually had our run-in with our share of Pats as well. You know, is that a boy? Is that a girl? What is that? What's that, Dad? Just like she was saying, what's that smell? You know, and I'm just like, sometimes I think my daughter's too smart for her own good. But that's because she's special. She's an exception to the kid rule. So she actually is special. But, yeah, like I said, listeners out there, your kids are not special. So don't let them stand on tables and grind, their feet into, you know, whatever they're standing on the table as they punt the salt and pepper shakers off, because, you know, you don't want to keep them down. We can say that, Rufus, because we worked in that industry, right, the food service industry. We understand that people think their kids are special even when they're not.
Yeah, what a magical industry that is, by golly.
Hey, we learned a lot. We learned a lot then. How else ever would you learn that a cheesesteak and a bag of chips, a half a cheesesteak, a bag of chips, and a drink comes up to the same price as a large cheesesteak, so you can pilfer money from the register, or watch your general manager pilfer money from the register at his own discretion?
These are all life skills. One life skill that I learned from a particular restaurant gig was when I went into the bathroom, actually went to the women's room because the ventilation was better, and took several hits off of someone's one hitter who will remain nameless. And I walked out, and there were several cops at the counter getting their sandwiches. And that was the first time I'd been totally stoned out of my mind in front of cops, and I handled it well. And I think thanks to that, I have succeeded in several job interviews.
Coping skills. Yeah, I think I remember that day, actually.
I do. This guy, who wasn't you, but somebody else, had a little wooden box one-hitter with this little golden one-hitter that would kind of spring up. It was like the James Bond one-hitter.
And what was that guy's name?
Zug, I think.
Yeah, as I remember him, he was pretty much the A1 employee at that store. When you weren't there.
He was a blue ribbon.
Yeah,
there, of course. Yeah, I was the worst employee, because I did everything by the books.
That's true. You were. Hey, you were entrusted actually with working out the sales tax at the end of the day. That's how you know that you arrived. You got to fill
out
the paperwork.
I had to fill out the paperwork and balance. That's what they call that. Balance the books.
And you know, I'm going to tell you, nobody counted nickels like you. No one could do it. They just, you had a special skill, another life skill.
Well, I learned counting nickels after getting my first raise, which literally was a nickel. I'm not kidding.
I remember that I got that exact same raise.
Dude, I seriously remember being pulled aside and being told, you've been doing a good job, I think you need a raise, and it was a nickel. And even in 1996, you know, it's a fucking nickel. So, what do you say? You want to spend the in the can wrapped, fully mastered beer as food for the kids? Thinking I may have lost Zigzag. I'm getting nothing back. Zigzag, hello. Come in. He was broadcasting from the Bermuda Triangle. That's not usually a problem. Are you there? Okay, I'm going to spin beer as food. If you object, squeeze my hand.
Walk into the kitchen at your hard day's work. A tray of fingers itching, open them all to mirth. Spend all day sweet sandies at the local sub shop. They got the only thing that gets me through it is a whole bunch of gourmet hot. Yeah, beer is food, that's what it's for. Yeah, beer is good, and I want more. It's my brown, my wine, it's my girlfriend look fine. Yeah, beer is food, I get all the
There you have it. Beer is food by Hypersloth. Your boys, Rufus and Zigzag. Zigzag, you there?
Yes, I'm back. Sorry about that. Just a little screw up there.
I'm sure it's Skype's fault.
It's because I'm probably because I'm down here in the bunker, sending it out to the airwaves.
Maybe you should be on that show, Doomsday Preppers. I mean, since you have a bunker with a jail door on it.
You know, you think that I only have a bunker, but the funny thing is, Rufus, I actually have a 55 barrels of water down here. I've got a car stashed like 6.5 miles away, so when everything starts to go crazy, I jog to my car, I get in. You know, I've been taking some serious prepper training courses.
Right.
You know,
funny, none of those preppers look like they could really survive at all.
I think Doomsday Prepper is actually just like another name for cult.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the first thing I'm going to do, like, if Doomsday happens, is I'm just going to go look for all the Doomsday Preppers because they're all kind of slow looking. I'm going to feast on them.
And I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to go looking for, hinged doors stuck in the ground out in the woods, and I'll know there's just a bunch of fat rednecks in there that I can munch on.
I'm going to tell you this. If I was a Doomsday Prepper, I think the last thing I'd do would probably get on a TV show and tell people that I was a Doomsday Prepper, in thinking that people like you are probably going to come around and eat my whole clan while I watch.
Clan. Dude, it's, oh my gosh, I was watching today Doomsday Preppers, like on my lunch break, right? And they were talking to this company that makes like underground bunkers and stuff, and they look cool as shit. And they were talking to these guys, and like, yeah, not only do we make them, but we actually put them in the ground for people, so there's a bare minimum of people who know where it's at. And of course, they're like tromping around in the woods filming these guys, showing them like walk into these. I'm like, I bet I could probably just take some still shots from the show and spend 10 minutes on Google Maps and find out exactly where these are.
That would be awesome. I think that's a great idea. I think you could probably sell those maps. Is that what you're talking about, like selling them?
I was just thinking about, you know, tracking them down and taking advantage of them and their weakness for food, but that's actually a better concept. And after the apocalypse, is to set up a booth and sell maps to all the preppers.
Well, after, well, you actually would have to go empty out the prepper place probably before you sold the map, because you probably, with all the money you were going to make from selling the map, you better damn well survive Doomsday.
That's true, but will money exist? I mean, you'll have to sell the maps for like
barrels
of tepid water. Bitcoin. Yeah, there you go.
Talk about a solid financial plan. I think I'm going to invest my savings into Bitcoins. What do you think?
I think that's a sound financial decision. I'm gonna email the HR person at my office tomorrow and say, just give me Bitcoin from now on. Here's my SilkRoad.com email address. Just drop it right in my account. This is my Bitcoin.
So you can buy 1 gram of MDMA powder?
Yes. And a bunch of bath salts.
Obviously, we read this. You read too much Yahoo mail or Yahoo front page.
Actually, so you know what the Silk Road is, I take it, huh?
Yes. I just saw it in some attached to some story where some guy, that's what they use on the Silk Road, is bitcoins, and some guy got busted paying for stuff in bitcoins or some random thing.
Really? Wow. Because I had no idea what Silk Road was. Some guy at work told me about it, and of course I immediately went home and like followed all the steps and set up an account. And that was the first time I heard of Bitcoin. But yeah, I mean, you can go on there, you can buy like human body parts and guns and army tanks and, of course, you know, all kinds of illicit drugs. Not that I have, or would.
I mean, I'd like to put a liver in storage or a heart or something. I mean, how do you know that they're working, though? That's what I want to know.
Well, that's the risk you take. That's why they all say as is.
I've actually never – I only saw that Silk Road attached to that story. I'm going to have to set up my own Silk Road account now, I think, just to peruse their offerings.
It's pretty weird because you have to like they change the URL all the time and don't tell you what it is. So I don't even remember how I found it to begin with, but you have to download the special version of Firefox browser called Tor, and you've got to do all this special shit so you can't be tracked. And then you finally get in. And it's just like eBay for illegal stuff. It's really weird.
Well, if we have any callers that have any Silk Road experience, call us in right now if you would like.
Yeah, call us in. Call in and, you know, go ahead and give us your username and all that good information.
Yes, all the good information. And don't forget to give us your Bitcoin password.
Right.
Now, Bitcoin, I knew Bitcoin was going to be a sound financial avenue as soon as those two idiots that gave away Facebook were thinking about investing $50 million in Bitcoin.
Were they really?
And see, that just goes to show you that they didn't actually work for that money, because I don't think that anybody would be that stupid with $50 million.
Right. I bought some Facebook stock before it came out, and I thought, well, this is it. I'm going to be rich.
Google.
Well, I can't afford Google. It's like, what, $600 a share? Jesus.
$600, it's like almost $1,000 a share.
Jesus Christ. Well, I bought Facebook at like, I bought 10 shares of Facebook when it first came out, and I thought, all right, it's just going to go. And it tanked. I've like lost money on it.
Yeah, pretty sad. It was more hype than anything. You know, I actually knew that stock was going to go down, and this is my own personal thing. Facebook doesn't make money, and I don't care how many users you have. If you don't make money, then you have no reason to be invested in. You know, you never are going to return anything to shareholders.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, dude, I should have known better, because I've dealt with Facebook's advertising platform. And I know it doesn't fucking work, because nobody goes to Facebook to buy shit. So you can spend a bunch of money on like Facebook ads that are super well targeted. I mean, that's one pretty awesome thing about it, is you can target like you can't target anything else. But at the end of the day, nobody wants to buy shit when they're on Facebook. So I should have known better, and I didn't, and I'm an idiot.
Life lesson, Rufus. Let me tell you about another life lesson I taught someone when I was in my first year at St. Edward's. Well, no, actually, it must have been my third year at St. Edward's when I lived in an apartment finally. I'd been relieved from the bowels of St. Edward's and was able to move off campus and move around freely. And
cool.
I had a roommate. His name, we're just going to call him Dan N. Okay? Dan N. And he was my first roommate out of college, or well, you know, when I moved out of my house, other than a roommate in a dorm. And Dan N, smartest guy in the world, Dan N, right? Dan N on scholarship, Dan N 4.0 every semester, 18 hours, you know, Mr. Educated guy. He also was a martial arts aficionado, which made Dan N kind of weird, extremely weird, actually. Not martial arts aficionado, just the way Dan N interpreted martial arts. But Dan N could not, he was the smartest guy in the world as far as book smarts go. Dan N could not cook a grilled cheese. Okay?
What?
Yes. Dan N could not cook a grilled cheese. He didn't know how to wash those. Dan N didn't know how to stuff. But one day, Dan N comes in to, I'm just happy to be relaxing, as it were, with a small golden torch thing and a lighter. You know what I'm talking about, a small brass piece that emerged from a box. On the couch downstairs.
Oh, yeah, Zag had one.
Right. On the couch downstairs, and Dan N comes down and yells, the toilet is overflowing, right? So apparently Dan N, which he had a habit of taking massively huge craps, probably had something to do with him being vegan or something weird, had stopped up the toilet.